Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, April 17th, 2026. 17 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are wide open, 740-383-9944. We can talk about anything. We've got a lot to talk about this morning. We're going to go back into the Amy Acton story because it has gotten bigger. And I think, again, emblematic of Dr. Acton herself not speaking about this. But we'll get into that. The morning has time to go along. But does anybody have anything to say in regard to our number one? 740-383-9944. The phone lines are always open. And again, congratulations to former Mayor Kellogg getting the Lifetime Achievement Award last night from the Marion, Ohio Republican Party. Very, very nice at their Harding dinner, and I thank the hospitality last night from the Marion, Ohio Republicans covering that event. And it was interesting to hear Senator McCauley speak, who is running with Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, 4th Ward City Council seat open again. The gentleman who was sworn in on Monday night now has had to resign that seat. He had a conflict with his job at ODOT, can't hold public office, so here we are. What do you think, Matt?
Oh, let me get your mic on.
As far as Rob McCauley goes, I mean, I think it was good that he showed up to speak. I think that I would have liked to hear him speak. It was unfortunate that I did not make it. I think that it's wasn't probably the best speech he could have given. I don't know that I would have mixed in there that we were losing, but I guess he felt that to be
necessary. I don't think he said we're losing. I think he said we're behind in the polls.
We're losing is basically the same thing. It would just sound bad to say we're losing.
Well, all this told me was that Ramaswamy is aware of the problems that his campaign is facing. And again, at this time last year, when Ramaswamy spoke at the dinner, I don't think Amy Acton was seen as any kind of threat. I think people thought Ramaswamy had this in the bag. The president had endorsed him already. I can't remember when the Republican Party endorsed him, but that was certainly on the horizon if it already had not happened. In Ohio, he had all this money, and things just haven't turned out that way in the last year. As I've said before, right now Republicans have a very, very, very tough time doing media because they have to toe the line in that they want to not alienate themselves from the president, but they also...
At this point, I don't think it'd be a terrible idea for at least one of them to try.
But I think what you're not understanding is these are Republican primaries. Mm-hmm. And even if the president only has a 20-something percent approval rating, that's 20% of the vote you don't want to lose. Because this is the Republican vote. And so you don't want to do that. But you also don't want to justify a war that's not very popular. You also don't want to justify $4 gas prices, a gallon. You also don't want to talk about the Epstein files at this point. You don't want to do those things because that will hurt you with another group of Republicans. And there's such a divide there right now. It's rough.
So the assumption is that if they go against Trump, they're going to not get like 20% of the
vote. Okay, I hear you're a Republican, okay?
Okay.
Come on the show, okay? Prices have recently risen. Gas prices have recently risen in just a two-month period to $4 a gallon here in Marion, Ohio. Think that's a good idea? Happy with that?
Short-term pain, long-term gain. Once the war in Iran's over, everything's going to be, you know, hunky-dory.
Don't like short-term gain. They're paying that at the pumps now. Summer's on the horizon. Memorial Day, people want to take long trips for the 4th of July, 250th anniversary of the country. They're not a fan of this right now.
You know, I can understand that, but like I said, short-term pain, long-term gain. Once the war is over, it'll be all right, because once the strait gets opened back up, the oil will be, you know, going right back to normal.
Why isn't this over in 6 weeks like the president said?
Well, you shouldn't put a timeline on anything.
You disagree with the president?
I disagree with the timeline.
Do you disagree with the president? Should this war have happened?
Well, I mean, they're the largest sponsor of state-funded terrorism.
So you agree?
Well, I don't think that the Ayatollah is exactly a great leader.
What kind of a job do you think President Trump is doing?
Great, never done better, and the economy's booming, and yeah.
$4 gas prices, the economy's booming.
Short-term pain, long-term pain.
You're not getting elected. You're not getting elected. See, that's what they don't want to get into. You can't. It's hard to do that right now, and I understand it.
That's about all the talking points I've heard them say.
Yeah, but and look where it's gotten them. It's gotten them in a bad way. That's why Casey Putch came on. That was the other guest we had this week. Casey Putch. He came on and he burned down the whole Donald Trump idea.
Man, I gotta listen to all these interviews.
Oh, and I'll tell you, yeah, you've missed the show this week. And then Casey Putch the next day goes out and gets himself banned from a rally he was having for making anti-Semitic remarks. So, it's been a week. It's been a week. Go ahead, caller.
Matthew, surely you were playing devil's advocate there because you couldn't stop laughing, right?
Well, that was yeah, because Scott had literally because I had said that. I mean, so I guess the assumption is that if they go against Trump, that they're going to lose 20% of the voter base. And he said, "All right, well, how about this? You're gonna be the Republican
running
for office." Yeah. So yeah, I was playing devil's advocate.
I wanted to make sure you were pretending.
Yes, yeah.
But that's why Republicans right now are going to friendly fire news sources because of what just happened. You can't. It's very hard to juggle that right now.
Well, the short-term pain for long-term gain, the thing is, some of us are old enough to have heard that for a long time, and we know that it's never short-term. You know, once gas prices, like, do I think they'll be below $4 a gallon again? Yeah. Do I think they'll get below $3? Probably not. You know, so we'll constantly eke upward on that one. I just wanted to make sure Matt was kidding, because I was about to drive to the station and cut off a portion of his hair and hand it to him.
I'll tell you something, and somebody can fact check me on this, because I listened to Macaulay's whole speech last night at the Harding dinner. I do not think President Trump's name was mentioned once.
Wow.
So that will tell you something about where we are in Ohio in politics, because for somebody running for a spot on the gubernatorial Republican ticket to not mention the current president's name one time in that speech last night, I'm sure that's done on purpose.
So, Matt, I think his quote-unquote fear, like, not that we're going to lose this, but that we might lose this, it's not as in the bag as we thought. That's to motivate people to get up and vote, because I think some people are going to I didn't realize it was going to be an issue. Spears called it. I think some people are going to stay at home because he's a Hindu. And he's like trying to tell them, you've got to get up and come vote for Vivek. You can't let other people decide this for you, because Amy's got a chance of winning it, which we didn't think she did before.
Well, now, one of the most interesting lines, and this is one of the ones I did post in the story online, he said, we have three opponents in this race. Amy Acton.
That was a good one.
Yes, Amy Acton, the national public and political environment, and complacency. Now, we know what Amy Acton, that's their opponent. The national political environment. Now, he really did not explain what that was, but...
That's code for Trump.
Well, that's code for Trump's not popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, he said it without saying it. And complacency, he said that was the biggest threat, was complacency.
I agree to America as a whole. Complacency and apathy are our biggest threats.
Well, but I think complacency to him, I think that all ties into what we've been talking about.
But somebody else will vote. I don't need to.
Yeah,
it's all wrapped up. I can't vote for a Hindu. So somebody else will go do it, and we live in MAGA country, so it's a guaranteed win for the fact I just don't need to be a part of it.
Right. So I'm very glad I attended last night, because I felt that story needed to be reported, because I have not heard, now maybe it has been, but I have not heard a McCulley speech reported on that. And that's, in that way, what he's saying now to people. And that's word for word what he's saying.
Well, I call that journalism, sir. And I think we need to get you in a, take a vote. Maybe we even need to, like, put it on the ballot, but we should get you an official press pass.
Well, you know what? I enjoy doing these shows. I have for a long time. And like I say, the popularity is very good. So, you know.
More and more, I'm coming across people that... It's becoming more unusual to not come across people that listen to you at some point during the week.
I doubt everybody can listen every moment of the day. But like I said, I got an email from somebody yesterday who I had no idea listened to the program, and they've never called in. But there they were.
I saw U.S. Marshals yesterday in Marion doing a bus. And completely different story. It just popped in my head, though, because a cop car drove by. And I read the story then. I went to their website this morning, and it was a fugitive from Maryland, but they grabbed four people and turned him over to ICE in Marion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was part of the story. That just, you said national, and then I saw a cop drive by, and I thought about it. I thought people might find that interesting, that U.S. Marshals were here in Marion serving a warrant on Jefferson Street for a fugitive.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, you know, one of the things, I would consider...
See, that's my contribution to journalism. I was there when it happened.
No, that's good. But I guess what I'm saying, what I think we do better here than anybody else is leave our opinions out. And the other thing is that... Okay.
You are pretty good at that.
Well, but I also think what we do better than anybody else is... No, the very local stories, and also the very state stories, like this event last night, you're not going to get this anywhere else because nobody else was there. And
right.
So there's that. And then there's, like, Mary Ellen being on with Colleen Marshall this Sunday. Where else have you seen that reported? That's a very local story. Jack Kellogg getting the Lifetime Achievement Award. Where else are you going to see that story? So those are the very local stories that I think we do very well, but you pepper those in with the statewide stories that we've done this week and the national stories that we've done, and then you drop something like Judge Finnegan's interview yesterday, which a lot of people listened to. And
I didn't get to hear all of it, but it was good to hear from Judge Finnegan. My son had his wife as a speech therapist from kindergarten through fifth grade, and she was just the best woman. So
nice woman.
It's nice to hear that he's doing well after her passing.
Well, and that turned into a far more emotional interview than I thought it would be on his behalf. So I hope people listen to that because I think it's well worth it.
And then I like how we put Matt on the spot and we're like, okay, Matt, so what's your opinion? Even though you refused to give one.
I don't mind giving my opinion.
Well, he said he's not, he's more of a pundit.
Well, I just wanted to give Matt a hard time and tell him he should demand better working conditions.
It does get that way around here sometimes. You know, it can be a little
rough. We're unionized. I mean, but you do have the seniority sphere, so seniority always trumps in the union environment. So
that's right. Seniority's a good thing to have. You got to work those things in the union.
Well, just your memes might be over, and then we'll let somebody else call because Naomi has tons of laundry to do. Our friends over at the fake news organization, Fake News Central, we call it Men Who Watch Men. They seem to be imploding a little bit.
I really was not aware of that. They're imploding?
Yeah, come to find out. I guess they're taking a break from quote-unquote publishing for a little while because they knew this attack was coming. Attack, the court records. They knew this attack was coming, and they're going to keep fighting the good fight and something, I don't know, some long AI-written diatribe. But yeah, our friends over there that have been this local source of journalism and truth and faith-based and fighting and everything else, well, one of them got somebody younger, 15 or younger, pregnant back in 1998, had a baby with them, and got charged with unlawful sexual conduct with a minor.
Mm.
Now, I found out that they are now in a relationship. Okay, so I'm just going to make up names. Let's say that the girl that got pregnant at 15 or younger back in the late 90s, let's say her name was Sally, okay? Well, Sally had a baby. Sally's baby would be grown now. But Sally had a sister named Jennifer. Well, our friend over there hooked up with Jennifer and now has about a 10-year-old with Jennifer. These are made-up names. So he has two kids with two sisters. We call them Buzzins around here. That's what we came up with last night, Buzzins. But, so, I can't believe that, and somebody else, I mean, somebody's telling me, they're like, you don't remember when this happened? I'm like, I don't know this guy. They're like, it was everybody, I thought everybody knew, that's why I've never mentioned it.
So,
they're giving me all kinds of details of this story.
So, the person, because I don't want to say their name, because I think that's not necessary.
A founding member of Operation Marion Watchmen.
Okay. So, that person, I'm trying to get...
Is a sex offender. They impregnated when they were 19 years old, not quite 20. They impregnated someone who was under the age of 15.
Is a like a convicted sex offender?
Yes.
Oh.
Unlawful sexual conduct with a minor. But it was so long ago. I've started reading some stuff like, why aren't they, didn't they have to register and all this other stuff? The sex offense laws changed a lot in 2003, 2008. Somewhere in there. And we used to have 7 classes of sex offenders, like from, you know, high down to different varying degrees of low, medium and low, and then nationwide stricter sex offense laws were put in place, and then that's where you get your tier 1, tier 2, tier 3. Because it used to be there were some sex offenses you didn't have to register for and some you did. Now you have to register for all sex offenses for at least a period of time. Sometimes it's 5 years, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's forever. And this person would have been grandfathered in under the you don't have to register.
So not a registered sex offender?
No, not the registry as we have it now didn't exist when this happened.
But a convicted sex offender?
Well, they pled guilty to a reduced charge.
So the charge was what?
Unlawful sexual... So they went to paternity court, like November 17th or something like that. They were charged with the paternity case, and 2 days later they were charged with unlawful sexual conduct with a minor.
So I want to make sure I have this right. So they would be considered a convicted sex offender?
If you have unlawful sexual conduct with a minor, it doesn't say what the charge they pled to. It just says a reduced charge.
So, now, because of this, what happened with the organization?
Well, I don't think that some of the people that were publishing with them knew that... Well, I don't think the public in general knew that this person had impregnated a minor at any point. I would have a hard time taking... faith-based journalism from somebody that knocked up a kid at some point.
So they've shut down?
And especially when you try to conceal it. I mean, because now it's like, oh, they're just trying to attack us. No, dude, somebody's bringing your record to light and asking you about it. That's not attacking anyone.
So is the response, now you're trying to attack us, or is the response, we're taking a break? I guess I didn't understand that part.
Both.
Okay, so
they're going to keep fighting the good fight, but commenting has been turned off, etc.
Oh, so people went after him.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see... Well, people are sending me messages from the inbox, and they were getting a hold of this person, and they're trying to say there wasn't a baby. I'm like, there's a paternity case listed on Marion Common Pleas Court. There was a baby. You don't get a paternity case as a man unless there's a baby.
Now, here's what... I'm going to say this with all sincerity.
Paternity and child support. I shouldn't just say paternity. And child support was ordered. So there wasn't just a paternity case. There was a child support order also.
Well, here's the thing. And you know, again, not mentioning any names and won't do that. But here's... Which I think is the way... We should do it on this program.
I want to throw this out there, though. That person and that organization, that group of people, has drugged me through the mud at the same time, because this person and I are very close in age, just a few months apart. While he's out having sex with kids and having babies with them, I got busted at a party drinking a beer and having underage consumption. They drug me through the mud for underage consumption, calling me a drug addict, an alcoholic. I have a long history of drinking and violence and all this other stuff. I got busted at a party with a beer when I was 19. He got busted having a baby with a less than 15 or less year old girl. We are not the same person. So maybe when he was out there pointing fingers at people for drinking beers when they were 19. He should have been remembering what he was doing at 19.
Well, here's the thing. And obviously, they certainly are not fans of me. I mean, that's where the clown thing came from and many other things over the last 6 months, I think, that they've been
in operation. And the total disrespect for Mary Ellen Withrow also. It's not
yeah, that wasn't a nice post to do. But no. Here's the thing about this that I would... Here's the problem. Okay, and it goes back to the Amy Acton problem, which we'll get into as the morning goes along here.
Yeah, because I want to hear what happened yesterday, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Amy Acton essentially is being called on the carpet for this domestic violence story, or domestic call.
Dispute.
Yeah, dispute. Because guilty by association. You know, guilty by association. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy has faced some of this, where people, you know, people who've...
Sex offenders
who have endorsed him.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a problem with that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but hasn't this group endorsed candidates, and hasn't this person who is a, I want to make sure I'm saying this right, convicted sex offender been on with candidates?
Yes.
Is that a problem in our society today? I mean, that would be a bit, and I'm not doing anything with that. All I'm saying is...
I don't know if they carry as much influence as they do, but yeah, I mean, you need to vet these people. As you and I said, you don't have to take an endorsement from everybody, and maybe you should vet them before you take it.
And haven't they endorsed candidates?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a problem?
Mm-hmm. They are gung-ho on Wevelin. They were the ones that started the issue with you and her about the blackmail.
Well, here's what I'll say.
They were the ones that broke that humdinger of a story of you asking Wevelin for a comment, and that turned into blackmail.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I don't think Wevelin should have to burden this if it becomes a burden. I don't know. But it's unfortunate, because that's what happens.
Blind ambition, Scott. This should be a lesson about blind ambition to everyone.
Well,
don't align yourself with people just because they're willing to pat you on the back. That man begged me, you want to be part of the core team? You want to be part of the core team? I'm like, no, I have no desire to be part of your core team, whatever that means. And I just always got a weird feeling. I never thought to check the guy's criminal background, because who would be so public and have had a baby with a minor back in the day? And then hook up with her sister and have another baby a decade or so later. That's all strange in and of itself. But you wouldn't think that somebody that has chosen to make their life so public would have something like that in their background. So I guess I learned my own lesson on that one, and trust no one.
Well, I want Matt to come in on this one. But I guess here's the thing. I as I've said the entire time, because they have sometimes not gotten it right when it comes to some things. Well, that Wevelin story in particular. I've always said I think more people reporting the news is a good thing. I've always said somewhere in the collective middle we'll find the truth. I never understood attacking other news sources. I never understood what that did for somebody. But I find it unfortunate.
Under the guise of faith, attacking other people.
I find it unfortunate that less than a month before an election that would happen. After they had endorsed candidates who are running for office.
They endorsed Kristi Neff, too.
Well, there you go. And if that becomes a thing, and I don't know if it will become a story, but if it does become a story for Wevelin and Kristi Neff, you know, that's very unfortunate, because I don't think they were aware. And that's what I said about Ramaswamy. I don't think we can lay this at Ramaswamy. I mean, the other day I think I was the only one defending him with these endorsements, but you don't know who endorses you. I guess you can try to vet them, but it's tough. A lot of people are endorsing you, and I think you just want to put their name up there and think they are on the level type of people.
Well, I learned my own lesson on this one I never, like, considered them a news source or anything like that as far as that goes, but I don't know.
Well, here's
check
I'm gonna
people thinner, I guess.
Well,
Matt, what's your date of birth so I can check your criminal background?
Yeah, oh Lord! But here's what I'm saying is that here's what's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate, is that something like that would happen. You know, you can't very well condone, you say, having a relationship with a minor in that way. You can't condone
that.
No,
but you, at this point, having been so many years ago, if it had been disclosed and, okay, I learned my lesson, you know, this sort of that, whatever, okay, I don't want to say youthful indiscretions because 19 and 20-year-olds don't need to be having sex with 14 and 15-year-olds. I mean, based on how long you're pregnant, this person could have been 14 years old when they got pregnant, 13 years old. We know they were less than 15 when, or 15 or less when they delivered.
Well, I've said this, I've said this many times. Those are the, it's why they are the worst crimes in prison. You cannot, you can come back from other accusations and other crimes. That's one you can't come back from.
And you know, you can't deny that it happened when a whole baby came from it.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
The proof is in the pudding. I mean, literally.
Well, like I say, I don't take any joy from seeing that happen and them having to take a temporary leave or a permanent leave.
Oh, I do.
Okay, well, I mean, that's okay.
I don't take joy in the fact that a child was abused 30 years ago, but the fact that they're getting their comeuppance when they were just so absolutely just spreading misinformation and propaganda and everything else, now we can all get a reprieve from that.
Well, let me say this, and then
I don't wish anybody personal harm.
No, no, Well, I think we're. Let me say this, and then I want Matt's opinion on this, because this does come to Wesleyan. I guess maybe because I saw her last night, and she had closely associated herself with that group, and you know, so on and so forth. But
I've got a picture of Wesleyan with their logo, with her endorsement, smiling.
Well. There we go. I guess you can. I guess you can do whatever you want with that. And heaven knows that apparently her and Ben got into a big kerfluffle this week because of a mailing. But
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was kind of. I didn't understand. Anyway, here's maybe we'll get into that if we have time this morning. But the whole
I don't understand it, so maybe you could explain it to the rest of us.
Well, it's interesting, but the point here is. I guess I'll say this with absolute honesty, because I guess that was Wesleyan's media outlet, it seemed like. And now she might not have one with so many days left in the election. If she would ever like to come and explain this, if she would ever like to do an interview, she is always welcome here. I never had any ill will toward her. I don't have any ill will now. It's all fine. Water, listen, you got to take some bumps sometimes. She threw a punch. That's fine. You know, la-di-da. It's over. You know,
blessed are the peacemakers, Spears.
I never took it personally. I really didn't take it personally. And I think she should have the opportunity to defend herself if she would choose to do so in a fair environment. Matt, what do you make of the situation?
First off, Matt, do you have any illegitimate children? I'm sorry. Have you had any unwed children, we don't call them illegitimate anymore, that we need to know about? Now is the time to disclose, and we will all move on from here.
No, there have been zero children had out of wedlock.
Okay,
so you're clear.
I'm good there.
Okay. Okay.
So your take on this, and because we've seen this week with Ramaswamy getting endorsed by people who had interesting backgrounds when it came to women, and what they did underage women, it doesn't bode well for the candidate.
Well, I mean, I don't think it looks great. I mean, I wouldn't want to, you know, be tied to, you know, somebody with charges such as that. I don't know why you would go taking shots at people. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
You know what's interesting about this
whole
thing?
I think it's like, you know, he who lives in a glass house shouldn't be throwing stones kind of thing.
Well, here's the weird thing. I will say two things. It's very interesting to me. I have been around now for 25 years. Now, I don't say that because I'm great, because I'm not.
You're only like 30, aren't you?
Well, I started out as a childhood prodigy.
I forgot.
I think you forget that childhood prodigy.
I do.
I was on the microphone at 5 years old. It was fascinating. But the point is, the reason you survive 25 years in any medium, in any market, is because people, it's the Jack Benny thing that I always say. Jack Benny, the great radio comedian, said the best thing that can happen to you is if people like you. The worst thing that can happen to you is if they don't like you, but there's nothing you can do about it. And it's all personality driven. And I've always tried to explain that to people. People can disagree with you all day long, but if they like your personality, mm-hmm. if they like who what you're doing, they will stick with you. And also, if you're accurate and you apologize when you're not accurate, they will stick with you. And I think that's why we survive, because I think every person on this station has always held to that record over the last 12 years, and me back in the WMRN days 25 years ago. So that's that. And the other thing is that when you attack other news organizations, even if it fires up your group and you get likes and comments, it looks like sour grapes to a certain point. And it also, it looks as if there's something wrong on your end. You're trying to hide something, I guess is what I would say.
Jealousy.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I certainly have never talked to anybody from that organization in recent times. But at some point, I have had conversations with everybody in that organization. And they were always fine. And so I never understood their vitriol, because I've never had an argument with them in anywhere. So I don't...
Well, then that would only point to jealousy. I mean, if, you know, individually, you've never had an issue with any of them, which I don't believe that you have. I believe you when you say that, but... when you put them together collectively.
Yeah, but today I don't...
You don't have an issue with them, they have the issue with you. That should tell you, I mean, how individually you weren't competing, but collectively they're competing against you as the show.
Right, but I'm not going to take joy in them having to temporarily disband or whatever they're doing. Okay, but I'm not going
to
meme it up.
Propaganda.
You know,
I'm not either.
And say,
but
you
I'm
know,
happy that the propaganda will stop for a little while. Maybe we can at least get through the next few months and the state coming in and doing their thing, and you know, until the state comes in and does their thing with Robert Landon. Maybe we can get by their propaganda until then, and then a big truth bomb can come out, and they'll be shut down for good.
Well,
I can hope. My list to God's ears.
Do you think they can? I mean, even if there is nothing further, do you think they can rebound from this? I mean, how do you come back and explain it?
People are just trying to attack them. They knew this was coming. So, I'll have to send you the statement. It's pretty funny.
It's interesting.
And it's long and rambling. But it's somebody else's turn to complain.
And we got the... Yeah, well, thanks. Okay. Yeah. Well, and then again, that, you know...
I don't know. If I were them, and I'm, you know, I don't know. If I wanted to maintain, I might go into some kind of, like, reconstruction. I might just go away for a while, fire a couple people, bring in a few new people.
It is unfortunate.
Say,
I mean,
we're unaware of his past history, and then move on with our lives.
I feel bad for the candidates right now who took an association over there. Because if all this is true, and again, I'm just getting what I'm getting here this morning, that could hurt them if somebody would choose to run that. And you know, that's unfortunate.
Well, I don't think you should be burning bridges. So I don't think you should have, like, candidates. I mean...
No, I'm saying the candidates who... I don't think the candidates who went on there knew that they were appearing or being endorsed by somebody who had that type of a record. I don't think they knew that. So I think it's unfortunate that that could be used against them.
Well, I mean... Well, they could just go on anywhere and explain that. That they did not know that he had a record and so on and so forth.
Right, which is why I say, you know, here we are. Okay, here it is. Well, let's take the phone call and we'll come back with this. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Hey, it seems like ignorance is the word of the day, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of stuff going around.
So, I want to keep going back to a certain candidate, Kristi Neff, who... her response to why her paperwork as a treasurer for another candidate was out of order, her response was ignorance of the rules. So, and then you have you know, the doc who's getting out of it, you know, he never wanted to come up and get in, you know, up to speed or on track of anything. So, yeah, it sounds like ignorance is the word of the day. But here's the good thing. Ignorance is curable. You know, if you do your due diligence and if you do basic, if you just get online and check public records. You know, one thing I've learned and I've been ranting on here lately is if you're going to run for office or if you're going to stir up the pot or you're going to do any of that stuff, you might want to kind of clean your closet out because, you know, I mean, that's what I would do. You know, if you want to know if I'm getting ready to spill some tea on somebody, usually once or twice a year, you're going to see on my Facebook page, you know, hi, I'm Phil Townsend, I'm a convicted felon, I'm this, that, and the other, because I'm going to take away your thunder, man. I'm going to take away, you know, your desire to harm me with my past. I use my past to better myself. I use my past to move forward. You know, people who are in public talk.
Uh-oh. I think we got disconnected. Call back in here. I think we dropped out there. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I think we just lost connection. That happens.
Well, that's no good.
Telephone lines aren't always perfect, heaven knows. But it's an interesting story, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think most things tend to be interesting.
Heaven knows there's a lot going on. I do want to remind people again, I don't think I said it this hour, the Colleen Marshall interview with Mary Ellen, 10 to 10:30 on Sunday morning. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I don't know what the hell that was.
Hey, no problem. Keep going. Keep going.
I mean, like I said, if we're going to stir the pot or if we're going to hold people's feet to the fire, we can't say, you know, what this administration did was wrong. But then when the same thing or the same kind of issue pops up relative in your own party, we can't do the, well, and I mean, no offense to Matt, but, you know, when I hear somebody start a sentence off with, well, I know I better get my hip waders on because some bullshit's probably about to be spewed. But, you know, I think you want candidates who are willing to get into the mix, who are willing to do the work and are not just in it for the meets and eats. You know, I mean, you got a candidates in these county commissioners, I mean, they're making $74,000 a year. And I mean, primarily, I mean, what did the doc do, man? Go around to this opening, that opening, eat, you know, shake some hands, get his pictures taken, and eat. And, you know, I think you want people in there that are going to do the job. I mean, we just had a situation where somebody, and I don't know this man from Adam, but who, you know, they ram-jammed through city council and swore him in, and now you come to find out he had to resign because he couldn't even take the job. And this is your leadership. This is the whole council voted for him unanimously, except for Scott Kreider. And they didn't vet this man. They didn't even seek out the rules. I mean, doesn't that kind of tell the people, the voters, that these guys are just sitting back and winging it, man? They're just playing this by the seat of their pants. It doesn't instill confidence in the electorate, man. Wow.
It's a point. It certainly is a point.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Get off here.
No, I appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. It is a point. I don't know that would have happened 15 years ago on council. I don't know that somebody would have been voted on, sworn in, without knowing what the rules were. I think maybe they could have waited another week until they got clarification.
That would have been good.
That if this person should be the one who's chosen, can they actually serve? That way you don't have to swear them in and they have to resign 2 days later. You know, it's just not a good story. Not a good story. And then you got the Republican Harding dinner last night. You know what struck me about the Harding dinner. Now, well, we'll come back to this momentarily, but there's something that it does interest me about this. Go ahead, caller.
I want to point out one more thing about the whole, my guy that resigned within 48 hours of my ward. He works for ODOT. That's the reason why he can't take this job. ODOT doesn't allow you to be a politician and work. He's a salaried position with the state of Ohio, so you can't hold an elected office in a salaried position. It's against the law. So they didn't bother even to check the law surrounding it. However, even after he was sworn in and did his little oath and everything, Sean Barr assigned somebody that works for ODOT to the Streets and Sewers Commission. Now, how is that? I mean, just to the average person listening, I want to say that again. The guy works for ODOT, and he was going to be one of the people making decisions about the streets and sewers in Marion. Does anyone else see that? Just the ethical conflict without even popping open a book to see if there's a problem, how that might be a conflict of interest?
Well, see, this comes back to the point that I've always tried to make. I don't think these things are done knowingly or purposefully. I think
that's not. How could somebody not know that, Scott? Come on.
Well,
now.
If you knew, because here's what I have to think.
I'm going to interject. Sean Barr, when he came to my house uninvited and unannounced, told me that he went through a program. It's called the Mount Vernon Project for something elected officials. I'll look it up and send it to you. It's through the auditor or Attorney General Dave Yost's office did it. The training for new candidates and how to deal with the public finances, all this other stuff. I think it's 8 to 10 hours. I actually took the training to see what new elected officials should learn. It's not required. It's just suggested. Sean Barr told me that he took that training. Part of that training is ethics and him not doing this sort of stuff. That's why he's recused himself on past votes. But he takes his buddy that he's been to Nashville with partying and he's been to Florida with partying and sticks him on the Streets and Sewers Commission, which he also happens to be part of. So him, the two Seans, one that works for ODOT and the other one would have been on the same committee.
Well, but see, here's what I think. If they would have known that within 2 days he would have had to resign.
They said Monday they were waiting on the ethics decision, so why didn't they just wait on it before they swore him in?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Or did they do this to start another clock? Did they do this to start another 45-day clock that they get to decide, the party gets to decide?
Well, that's.
Did they bust it up in the middle?
Well, why are they having such a problem finding somebody?
Why in God's name would anyone want to go up there and be part of that mess right now?
That's what I'm saying. I think there is a problem right now. I think there's a big, big problem right now. And
if I lived in the city, I'd consider.
You're in the 4th Ward, aren't you? You're a Republican.
I'm better with having. Yes, okay. And you know who takes the applications for the position?
Who's that?
Sean Barr. I don't think he'll. I don't believe he'll receive. He'll accept my resume. But I also don't want to be part of that crap show for $9,000 a year. I love my city, but not enough to not be able to sleep at night. I'm better off with having no one, no representation right now than a guaranteed yes vote, and that's the truth.
You know what's interesting? I just want to tell this story very quickly, but I think this is important about the media, which is where we spend a great deal talking about this hour, but this puts the praise on somebody who deserves it. Jack Kellogg will be 90 years old, I believe, in June. And, you know, 90 years old is 90 years old, and last night he went to the dinner, and he got up, and he accepted the Lifetime Achievement Award and all of that. As he's leaving the room last night, when he saw me, and he knew what I was there for, he stopped and did an interview. Now, this is how Jet Kellogg has always operated. So when I have gotten on here for years and years and years and said, no matter what the situation was with Mayor Kellogg or Mayor Schertzer, they always spoke to the media. They never deflected it out, and that's the big difference. Jack Kellogg, at 90 years old, I don't think is in perfect health. Jack Kellogg, you know, hearing, seeing, as you get older.
Right. He was at the fruitcake toss, but yes, I mean, he's still a spry fella for 89 years old, right. But yes, he is aging, for sure.
But I will say, there is somebody who came up to me last night, because I said, hey, we want to get Jack, and they said, well, you know, he's had a very long day, he's about 90 years old, I'm not sure if he'll be able to do that. Jack
still that way at 47.
Well, but
so.
Jack did not even, as soon as he saw me, he stopped an interview, and he went right into it. So, to me, that's what a lot of people didn't do last night. Now, I'm not saying they have to, but that's Jack Kellogg, and that's a breed of politician that maybe is not around
anymore. And that's why he's beloved.
And there you go.
And that's why he's beloved.
Got the standing O last night and deserved that award. Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye, guys.
We're going to break. We'll be back.
Oh, my goodness. How could we ever forget that?
Yeah. I would drive the...